Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. If you suffer a sprain, strain, or fracture, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care at 435 and Nall in Overland Park. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson. Online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com for new and used bikes. And bike nights every Thursday night at I-29 and Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
Shotgun snap. Mahomes is back to pass. He looks, steps up in the pocket, pumps, hit, throws it downfield. It's intercepted. Picked off by the Ravens around the 45. Jackson waits. He takes the snap, turns, hands it off. No, he's going to keep it. Running around the right side. Looking to turn the corner. Little stutter step move. Dives for the pylon. No signal yet. He's in. Touchdown, Baltimore. He takes the snap. Holds it out for Williams. Jackson keeps it. Runs right and somersaults into the end zone. Touchdown, Ravens. And Baltimore has taken the lead. Mahomes up under center, handoff Edwards-Helaire, hit in the backfield, he fumbled. The ball is out. The Ravens think they have it, and Baltimore has recovered. Jackson lines up in the shotgun. He takes a quick snap. Jackson running to his left. He's got the first down, and the Ravens are going to win.
And now, the best player on the Chiefs defense last night. Prove me wrong, Seren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Wow, choked up already. Right you are. Petra on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us on a nice fall. It's officially fall today, right?
Is
it's it? 20th or 21st. It can be either one. No one knows. Which one is it? Both are recognized.
So you're going to feel more like fall tomorrow.
Yeah, it will. The Chiefs fell last night to the Baltimore Ravens. Huh? But that, see what they did there?
By the way, it's Wednesday. I just noticed it's the 22nd.
It's 21st or 22nd?
Wednesday. Okay. They couldn't even allow us to have that much.
I thought it was either the 21st or 22nd. It depends
on under that impression as well.
Is that a new thing? They finally settled on it. So we're done screwing around here.
It took us 200 years to figure out that it was a day later.
Much to get to here in the program. I'm going to tell you, we got a busy first hour, so we will be opening the phone lines up in the second hour. Adam Schefter has got to get to a production meeting for Monday Night Football, so we will talk to Adam Schefter in our next segment. Calls coming up in the three. Always like to take calls and get people's thoughts. So I'm in the three and the four around Byron Pringle, who is scheduled to join us in the 3 o'clock hour. An announcement to make about a partnership he's doing. Probably would love to have done it after a win.
Could be.
Yeah.
Did it after a TD, at least.
Yeah. So he's scheduled to join us here in the program. Two-minute drill coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Trent Green, former Pro Bowl quarterback, Chiefs quarterback, CBS Sports color analyst, forms the excellent broadcast duo with one Kevin Harlan on CBS. They had the Pats and Jets yesterday.
So he saw some interceptions.
He did. He saw some picks.
Lots of interceptions.
There were interceptions in the Chiefs game. It was not enough to get it done for the Chiefs, however. They fall. Been listening to the Border Patrol and the Zone today and the thoughts of everybody. Let me take a little bit, I don't know, maybe mildly different tact. Look, the defense sucked. I don't have any magic elixir to, or fairy dust to sprinkle on that. That's a turd, okay? There's no way around it. They have played poorly for two straight games, and at some point you would think pride is going to kick in and be the motivator for those guys on that side of the ball. They have more talent. They certainly have a greater expenditure of capital, of resources, that they should not be looking that way. If people don't remember, we talked about this in preseason. 49.4% of their cap is spent on defense. 37.6% of the cap. This can't be right. Oh, yeah, this is right. 37.6% of the cap on offense, 3.1% on special teams. And if you're like, that doesn't add up. Dead cap.
Yes.
Dead cap making up the roughly, is it 10%? Let me see. Down here to dead.
Is that the movie with Ryan Reynolds in it?
Dead cap?
Yeah,
it is. It is.
Good flick.
But the dead cap making up whatever's left, what would that be roughly?
18? or 17, 18 maybe?
Yeah.
Ish.
Mm-hmm.
High teens.
Is it that much?
That sounds bad, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? We're going to see if I missed something here. Let me go back here. Dead cap, $10 million. No, it's only 6%, so there's some other element that's at work there.
They're spending a boatload on the defense.
Quoting Spotrac.com, all contracts, injured reserve, because there's injured reserve money, reserve non-football injury.
Everyone somewhere is.
Practice squad.
Yeah.
So that's where it is. Point is, they're spending more on their defense than they are their offense. So there's no.
By a fairly wide margin.
There's no reason for the defense to be as miserable as it was. I'm not going to put lipstick on that pig. The defense sucked, and there's no way around it. I will say this, even with the defense sucking, and I think the comparisons that we've heard them all day to 2018 are certainly quite accurate through these first two games. And you can boat race your way to a division championship and even a conference championship. And as we know, if you don't have penalties at the most inopportune time, maybe even all the way to the Super Bowl, who knows, maybe you can win it. I would tend to think that the 18 Chiefs could take down the Rams, at least the Rams edition that got to the Super Bowl and really had lost their ability to run the football. If you recall, what's his name? God, it's
Todd Gurley.
Todd Gurley.
Yeah, they weren't the same team. And by the Super Bowl that they were when those two teams met in Los Angeles, and the Chiefs were.
Yes. So they may have been able to win a championship with a terrible defense, and this team might be able to as well. I do expect there to be improvement. But I will say this, one way to look at this is the Chiefs snapped a ball over their quarterback's head, effectively killing one drive. Their quarterback threw a bad INT, killing another drive and setting up a touchdown for the Baltimore Ravens. And the running back fumbled at an essential moment in the game. Three self-inflicted wounds. One, forced a punt deep in your own end. One, gave the football to the other team with incredible field position. The other, gave the football to the team, to the opposing team, where it basically made it, for all practical purposes, game over. They needed to get one first down, but there was no reason to believe that the Chiefs would stop them, knowing full well that John Harbaugh is one of the more aggressive coaches and certainly acknowledges and accepts the fourth down. Andy Reid is one of those coaches as well. Neither one of them does it as much as I would like, as much as analytical guys would like, but they're two of the more aggressive coaches. And I think we all knew. Did anybody have any doubt that facing a fourth and one, they were going to leave the offense on the field and go for it?
I didn't have any doubt that they would go for it until I saw them. I saw John Harbaugh then asking. You can see his lips move. Do you want to go for it? So it sounded like they weren't really sure.
I don't think he ever. I think that was a ploy to jack his team up.
You think it was?
Like, I'm putting it to you.
Yeah.
And you know, he knew full well what they'd all say. Hell yeah, we'll go for it. Yeah, yeah. Go for it, yeah. Coach. Get them all revved up, and here we go. Yeah, and then deliver. Okay, we'll go for it. I'm going to show the confidence in you. Here it is. We're going for it. I don't think, had any hesitation whatsoever. He was not going to put the football back in Patrick Mahomes' hands if there was any reasonable way to avoid it. And getting 1 yard against the Swiss cheese that is the Chiefs' defense right now, no problem.
And they had the perfect play dialed up, too.
Pick a run play.
Pick a run play, yeah, really.
It'll work.
Yeah, when you're averaging.
I almost think it was. I'll actually disagree with you.
6 yards a rush.
They powered up. Went with an unbalanced line, and really, I think if they just stayed in their base offense, they were getting like 7 yards a pop there.
Yeah.
With Lamar Jackson, that's a no-brainer. It's an absolute no-brainer. So, first of all, I'll salute John Harbaugh, right? And his team fought to the very end, overcame a pick six early on, which I don't know how you couldn't think. Eric Eager tweeted out, game over. Right?
Yeah, 7-0. Mahomes hasn't even seen the field is a pretty good starting point.
With the history of these two teams and Lamar Jackson's inability and the weight of the world riding on his shoulders, I believe that this was his contract extension game. At home, you got to be able to beat Patrick Mahomes. If you've got a quarterback that's 0-4, I wouldn't, and I still don't know that I would give a big time, you know, 7-8 year extension to Lamar Jackson, because I think he's going to get beat to hell eventually. Right, so, and he just doesn't throw as well. But he proved he can beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And a tip of the cap to Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh and their coaching staff for coming up with great game plans.
Greg Roman had a banner day last night.
He stayed with the run. I heard, I thought, a nice point by Corey Anderson when he said, you kept waiting for him to abandon the run. That's usually what he does in those situations, and he didn't. He stayed with the run. They just said, look, if we're going to run ourselves into a 24-point hole, then we're going to run ourselves into a 24-point hole, because we've seen this movie when we go to the air. And they did what they did. What I want to point out is, at the end of the day, three times the Chiefs had massive self-inflicted wounds, they still lost by 1 point. They were still a non-fumble away from winning the game.
With two massive self-inflicted wounds.
Yes.
At that point. Yeah.
With two massive self-inflicted wounds. And if they could get a stop, which there's no reason to believe that this defense, at least in its current form, will get a stop. But if they could have gotten a stop, may have given the rock star quarterback another shot at it. And with a minute roughly to go, or what was he going to have, 50 after the clock ticks down? Was
I think 30? They had a timeout left still, did they not?
I think
they still had one left.
I think they burned them all, two, after first, second, and third down.
I guess that's true.
And so what was the clock? Where did it change? On the fourth down.
Here we go.
Snap. So you can add basically 40 seconds.
105.
So maybe as few as 25, 30 seconds.
But if they get stopped, I think the clock stops.
It does stop. Yeah, you're right.
They would have had
a minute.
They would have got the full minute.
They'd had a minute if they stopped.
At the 43.
So, you know, I think he beats them.
Yeah. Yeah, a minute left, and they're 10 yards from field goal range.
I mean, before they ran the ball with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, they were just taking 20 yards at a time.
Mm-hmm.
They were taking what they wanted. Now, I think there are a couple of different things to come away from this. One, again, I think if they play again, I think the Chiefs win. I think this defense, the Chiefs will win with this defense. And I give Steve Spagnuolo and the talent on this defense every possible opportunity to get better. How much better? Well, I'm not going to blow rose petals in your face on that one. I don't think it's going to get a whole lot better. I think the personnel is flawed. And as long as Juan Thornhill plays 11 snaps, and until Bolton plays well in a pass defense, which he was twisted and turned around and not really knowing where the ball was or where he was supposed to go. But until Nick Bolton plays well, until Willie Gay Jr. gets on the field and is effective, there seems to be a disconnect between the players that are drafted highly by the front office and the players that Steve Spagnuolo wants to put on the field. There is a distinct issue. It is an issue now. Right? You can't be drafting second and third round players that don't play. And if Steve Spagnuolo needs brain surgeons, well, brain surgeons can be had in later rounds. Stop drafting defensive players in the second and third rounds if they're not going to get on the field. Acknowledge that your defensive coordinator is not going to play these people. And at least go get top shelf receivers, high quality offensive linemen, and turbocharge that offense as much as you can. And go out aiming to win 60-50. But there is nothing worse than Junior Siavi after Ryan Sims after Eddie Freeman. Like, spare me that. And the linebacker play is looking like it. There is no need to give Anthony Hitchens $50 or $60 or $70 million to be one of the worst-ranked linebackers in football. Frankly, there's no need to give Chris Jones $84 million to be what is an average number one defensive end. Average. 18, 19, 20, that's where he's ranking on the edge. Now, I give Chris Jones a lot of opportunity to get better. He's just making the move, right? But if it's going to take all year, you're throwing away a year of what used to be one of the five best defensive tackles in football to be, on the edge. There are 32 teams. If you rank 18th or 19th, you're basically an average starting edge player. The average of the better of the two. You want to call that one of the better ones? Fine. But they have taken what was a tremendous asset, and at least for the first two games, overall his grades, two sacks, two big sacks against Cleveland, yes. Against the run, I'm non-existent. Setting the edge, no concept.
To the point where his inexperience at that particular task was used against him by the Ravens a number of times last night.
Yes.
They knew he would charge inside.
Well, they just went outside of him. And I guarantee you, there was tape on the Ravens option game. It's what they do. There was nothing new. and what Baltimore was doing last night. There was plenty of tape to see. You just have to be willing to be assignment sound. And that's on Steve Spagnuolo. That's on Daly, the defensive line coach. If you've coached this guy for 2 or 3 years and he is just go get him, which is what I think he does, because I think Michael Dana and Alex Okafor are asked to stay home and be gap sound and be responsible for the other little things and just let Chris Jones go hell-bent after the ball. That's a good strategy. It works from the inside. But on the edge, you can't play like that. There are responsibilities in the run game, and you can't just freelance and go after the ball, because as soon as he pulls it out of the halfback's stomach and is off running, he's outside you and into the open territory.
You ain't catching him to the corner.
So, look, at some point you got to look yourself in the mirror and be honest with yourself. We don't know what Steve Spagnuolo wants. We can't find it for him. So stop drafting him, guys. Like, you've got to figure out how to make that work. Juan Thornhill has to get on the field. Or trade him before you just absolutely decimate his value.
76 offensive plays for the Ravens last night. Daniel Sorensen was on the field for every one of them. Juan Thornhill, 11.
It
was clear, I mean, Daniel Sorensen made a couple big plays. In the first half, it was like he was in the wrong place a lot. And if that's the draw of him, is the veteran's going to be in the right place, and he's not in the right place, what's the point?
The Ravens, let's be clear, didn't play a perfect game. They threw a pick six to start the game. They threw another interception. They fumbled, although it bounced up into the air, right into Duvernay's hands, who then went on in for the touchdown. But let's be honest, that's just ball don't lie.
Yeah. If that had gone to the Chiefs, it would have been, the Ravens would have been like, you've got to be kidding me.
Right. But ball don't lie. Like, they're going to stuff it down your throat at the goal line. The Chiefs have no shot whatsoever of stopping Baltimore. How many times did Lamar Jackson drop back? 26 attempts, sacked once, right? Is it just the one?
Just the one sack. From
27 dropbacks. I'm going to guess, of his carries, how many of them do you think were scrambles that he dropped back to throw initially and then ended up taking off? He had 16 carries, at least three, right?
Yeah, 4 or 5.
Yeah. 30 times he drops back, one sack. Well, he's an elusive guy. He is an elusive guy. He's also a guy that will hold the ball and dance because so many times he makes plays. Yes, he's hard to bring down. Yes, he should probably get you on some runs for first downs. Yes, he will make you look foolish in the backfield. But he will also run right into a sack when he doesn't see the guy coming from the other side if you're able to get any kind of pressure whatsoever, any pressure beyond just one individual.
The one sack that he took was because he held the ball too long. He should have been out of there way before Sorensen got to him, but he didn't.
40, let me get this number correct. This year's team, Chris Jones converted bonus, so brought his number down. $25.8 million in Frank Clark, $8.5 million in Chris Jones. 25% of the Chiefs' cap this year, with Chris Jones' number being bought down. A little parlor trick, a little accounting trick to pay him a roster bonus instead of salary so they get a prorated out over the last 3 years of the deal to bring that number down. Something they're doing with Patrick Mahomes as well. A little parlor trick, and yet the defensive line still accounts for 25% of the overall cap hit of this team. 25%. A fourth of it is on the defensive line. And I'm not sure you could find anybody on the defensive line last night without a milk carton. Kids back in the day, the kids that were missing, they used to put photos of them on a milk carton. So you were missing if you were on a milk carton.
We didn't have Amber Alerts in the 80s.
We had milk cartons. And they had faces. That's how we did it back then. So, look, and through all that, they still probably should have won.
And that's, I said, you know, whenever the Chiefs lose, it's always a big Twitter freakout about every little play that happens. You know, that's what it is when this team loses. When they lose a game, it's generally because everything went right for the opponent, including 3 or 4 big mistakes the Chiefs made. All teams make the kind of mistakes the Chiefs made last night, but when they make those mistakes, they lose by 17, not by 1. And so when the Chiefs, when it happens to them, you look back at every single play. It is something of a testament to the overall strength of this team that they lose games like that, and people make such a big deal about it.
Patrick Mahomes, 343, 3-1. He's brilliant again. They did only score 4 offensive touchdowns, by the way. One of those, of course, on defense by Tyrann Mathieu. But when they really wanted to go and when they weren't doing something ridiculous, fumbling, making a bad throw, snapping the ball over the quarterback's head, they were still incredibly impressive. And I think one of the things that you've got to like, right, about this team is there's been a big fuss about what about after Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Well, the Baltimore Ravens, if you listen to the Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show, Wink Martindale said 10-87 can't beat you. Well, they couldn't stop Kelce. 7-109 and a touch. But they took Tyreek Hill out of the game, 3-14. And Patrick Mahomes still had 343 yards and 3 touchdowns. Why? Because the much questioned, I'm not going to call him maligned, although Mecole Hardman has been maligned, but DeMarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman, and Byron Pringle combined to catch 10 balls for 164 yards
and
two touchdowns. So they were very effective. The third wideout for the Kansas City Chiefs
was Tyreek Hill.
Or the third option, I guess.
Those three guys basically were Tyreek Hill. They took him away, and they. By the way, Hill still had three catches, only 14 yards. But those three guys basically were what he was against the Browns.
If you want to throw in the Belldozer and Fortson for what they did, there's 2 catches for 31 more yards. Out of the backfield, Jerick McKinnon, 1 catch for 14 yards. Looked pretty good. In fact, I think we might be close to saying, when is Jerick McKinnon going to get some carries for this football team? Burton, the fullback, even had a nice catch and run. Mm-hmm. So there are other places to spread the ball. Patrick Mahomes will spread the ball around. They took away Tyreek Hill, and the Chiefs still should have hung 40-plus on the Baltimore Ravens as an offense. Could have very easily, they hung 28 offensively, easily been at 35, 38, should have been more points out of this offense. There is some things to like. Now, I will say this. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, we're getting close to saying just not good pick.
Yep. It does not appear he's shifty, does not appear to have any kind of acceleration. I mean, he doesn't get the holes you think, how do you get caught from behind? Still struggles in pass protection. They can't seem to find a way to get him open out of the backfield. He's not been an impactful player to this point.
Yeah.
Games in, but that last night was a night where he could have been utilized.
And if you want to say he's not getting the blocking, that's fine. Then let's talk about the offensive line that was supposed has been remade, but how much better is it really? Right? Then that's a question in and of itself. So, look, I'll say this. Frustrating day. Defense, a lot of work to be done. Don't know how much they can get done. I think they will be better. I don't think they're going to. I think the ideas we all had, at least I had, of them being a top 10 defense, I'm starting to say that ship is sailing. Well, number one, statistically speaking, dig out of this turd, right? But I think you can still win. I think they will still win the vast majority of their games. I think they're still the team to beat in the AFC. And I don't think there's any reason to be hugely pessimistic. In fact, Curtis, you put pen to paper. Mm-hmm. When you give up 450-plus in each of the first two games, which the Chiefs have given up 457 and 481, massive yardage totals, it's not actually the death sentence for a season that many might think.
No, in fact, I look back, there are 14 teams, including this year's Chiefs, who have given up 450-plus each of the first two games. But there's an interesting where you draw the line, is that 10 of those have happened since 2011.
Before Chiefs being the 11th.
Chiefs being the 10th since 2011. Okay. There were 4 others that happened starting back in the 90s, so I cut those off. Just for clarity's sake, let's just go the last 10 teams to do it, what I'd call the modern era of the NFL with the passing game. So 2011 to here. Those 10, the previous 9, averaged 10.7 wins per season. The low water mark being 6-10. And 2 other teams were 7-9 and 8-8. But they averaged almost 11 wins per year.
What were the best teams?
450. The best teams, the 15-1 Packers in 2011. The 13-3 Patriots in 2011. And then the 2020 Seahawks, 2018 Chiefs, and 2016 Raiders were 12-4. the 17 Saints were 11-5. But those teams averaged almost 11-5. Of those nine, six went to the postseason, and three of them won at least one game. Two teams got to the conference championship game, the 11 Patriots and the 18 Chiefs, and the 11 Patriots got to the Super Bowl. So it's not great, but in this modern era of football, it is not a death.
It's actually a sign that you must have a really good offense, and you're both going up and down the field.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
So more teams who have done that have actually been good than have been bad.
We'll take a break. We're going to talk to Adam Schefter next. Byron Pringle coming up in the 3. Your call is coming up in the 3. Two-minute drill at 4. Trent Green at 5. We're talking a lot of Chiefs football today here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
You guys really suck. You guys really suck.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. He's been a top NFL insider for 15 years.
We'll see how that's received.
Well, it's interesting, too, because this
Hold
is
on
all...
a second.
Adam's on the phone.
Okay.
We'll talk
about
that's how good he is.
He's been honored by Frank Caliendo.
Based on what I've been told, word around the league is many fans struggle understanding what an NFL insider is all about.
He's even been in the movies. He's Adam Schefter of ESPN in the program.
Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk to the information man, ESPN's senior NFL insider is Adam Schefter. He joins us right now here in the program. Adam, how are you, sir?
Hello, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing better than a lot of quarterbacks. Let's start there. Injuries galore. And I know one of your tweets that you had out there was about Deshaun Watson already. People wondering, well, will Deshaun Watson be active for the Thursday night game? You put the news out there. No, he won't. So do any of these teams that are now starting to take on water, the Colts and in particular the Dolphins with Tua going down, don't know how long he's going to be out, but their name was rumored to have interest in Deshaun Watson. Do we see something start to happen with Deshaun Watson anytime soon?
Well, the Houston Texans have resisted overtures so far to deal him for anything less than a full haul, and it's hard for a team that would be interested to give up the requisite compensation to Houston while there are still probes going on with the FBI, the Houston Police Department, the National Football League. And so nobody has all the answers on the Deshaun Watson situation and investigations. And he has continued to maintain his innocence all along, insisted he's done nothing untoward here. We'll see what the investigations turn up. But if you are a team that's interested in trading for Deshaun Watson, how can you trade everything when you don't know the outcomes of these investigations yet? It's hard. And the Texans are unwilling to deal with him unless they get full value back. The teams are unwilling to give up that full value without answers. Does that make sense, Trent? So we go round and round, and that's why you're seeing him inactive every week, because the Texans are willing to wait to move him until they believe his value, full value, is restored.
Yeah, it does make sense. And so there, it's more about the Texans than it is somebody else having interest then.
Absolutely. It's both sides, right? If you are a team that's trading for Deshaun, you logically would want to attach conditions to those trades. And if you're the Texans, you don't want to have to do that, attach any conditions. You just want to be able to get a full haul for a guy who, when there are no outstanding legal situations being investigated, is one of the best young players in the game.
Yeah, and a lot of value is expected, right? There was reports out there. Is the asking price, as far as you know it, 3 firsts and 3 seconds? Wasn't that what I read somewhere?
I was told that the Texans are seeking a combination of 6 items in return. However, that breaks down: 4 picks, 2 players, 2 players, 4 picks, 3 players, 3 picks, 5 picks, 1 player, 6 elements in return for him.
Do you think they'll get that, or is that just shoot for the stars and land on the moon?
Well, it just depends on when they decide to move him and what the results of the investigation are. Tell me the results of the investigation, and I'll tell you what I think they're going to get back from.
Let's talk about some of the other quarterback moves. Fields coming on and getting on the field for the Bears. Everyone, media, I was watching Get Up this morning, and the conversation about how Fields has to play. I didn't exactly wow anybody, right, with what he did. Is it as cut and dried that, you know, just because he got on the field with Andy Dalton going down, that now he has to stay on the field? Or do you expect Matt Nagy to turn back to Andy Dalton?
Oh, Matt Nagy today was very clear that Andy Dalton is our starting quarterback. That's what he said. He wants to be very clear about that when he's healthy, when he's ready to play, and we don't know exactly when that will be just yet, but Andy Dalton is the starting quarterback. And Justin Fields came on yesterday, and this is the problem, you know, in our world today. I think, you know, it's an issue. Everybody wants the next great thing. They want instant results. They don't want to wait. Not a lot of patience in society. And then you get the guy out there, did Justin Fields, and I know he's not going through the week as the guy who's taking the reps as the one and not getting ready for it, but did he look like a guy who's ready to play right now, full game?
No.
I don't know about that.
No, I don't at all. In fact, I think he could use the, you know, Patrick Mahomes apprenticeship year, and maybe more so than any of the young quarterbacks we've seen out there.
And Matt Nagy's known exactly what a benefit that was to Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. He was a part of that. And the plan going into the season was the plan to rest or have Field sit as long as he could, hopefully the whole year, and have Andy Dalton start on his one-year contract. Now, Dalton got hurt yesterday, so we'll see how long he's sidelined. But in the Bears' perfect universe, Justin Fields was on the bench this year. That's just the way it was going to be. Now, he's going to have to play a little bit sooner due to the injury. We don't know how long Andy will miss. But, yeah, they want to wait, and the fans don't. And that's where you get something of an issue right now.
Is how much of a hot seat is Matt Nagy on? I know he, you know, he's a popular name to throw out there, but the Bears are not an organization that usually makes knee-jerk reactions. And I'd like to point out to folks that have him on the way out, he has made the playoffs two of his 3 years as a head coach. I don't understand with what he's had to work with how there could have been expectations that were much higher than what he's delivered for that team. But I'm not an NFL owner. Is the seat as hot as some people want to make it?
Who's making it hot? The fans, right? Like, and to your point, they have made the playoffs two or three years. So, I think a lot of cities would take that every year and sign up for that. So, it's a case where, yeah, look, in this league, you don't win, you're going to get questioned. You don't solve the quarterback position, you're not going to win. You don't win, here comes the criticisms and calls for your job, and it's just part of the territory. Is he on the hot seat? I think that if you don't win in this league regularly, you don't go far in the playoffs, you're under a team, yes, you're going to be on the hot seat. I don't know that he is or isn't there. Like, I'd like to see how the season plays out before I'm firing Matt Nagy.
Yeah, and I think the Bears will take that approach as well. And I think you want to see him how it plays out with a full season with him, you know, handling Fields. So whenever that is, I mean, I know fans, well, he's just not playing him to buy a year, or it's what he thinks is the right thing to do. And you play it out and see what you've got. You hired the guy because he was supposedly the hot quarterback guru. Let him work with that quarterback before you make your choice. We're talking to Adam Schefter here, ESPN senior NFL insider, in the program. Another coaching news. You had the report, Eric Bieniemy emerging as a strong candidate for USC. You know, he, you know, said, hey, I'm happy where I'm at and I'm focused on my job. And Andy Reid, however, said, yeah, well, I support Eric Bieniemy and, you know, he deserves to be a head coach and we'll support him being a head coach. Where does it sit right now? Do you think he's the front runner? Do we think this is something that could happen in season?
Well, let me say this, Ron. I didn't say that he's emerged as the leading candidate or a leading candidate. What I said was is that there are people who believe he will emerge as a candidate for that job. That doesn't mean he will or that he won't, but there are people who believe that with him being from USC, with him being familiar with the college game, with CU having made a run at him, University of Colorado, that USC will at some point come calling for him to speak with him. Now, I don't know whether they will or won't. I spoke to a couple of different people who told me that. And I think Eric Bieniemy's turn as a head coach in this league is long overdue. He should have been a head coach in the NFL already, and he's not. So I think that he probably has to be a little bit more open-minded in terms of the opportunities that come his way. Like a college like USC does come calling, well, maybe it's time to consider a job like that because the NFL hasn't exactly been great and responsive so far.
Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And so that was the report that there are people who believe he's going to emerge as a candidate. I don't know that they've actually reached out to him yet. I don't know that, you know, I think that in a case like this, sometimes schools wait a little bit. You know, their season just got started, would seem a little bit early. So I don't know if and when they will, but there are people who think they will reach out to them eventually, and we'll see if they do.
Is it your sense that, you know, from the people you talk to, that Eric Bieniemy is not going to be hired by an NFL team no matter what? That he is, whatever the problem is, that it's one that no one's going to, you know, go down that road?
Oh, I don't know about that. I just know that how many times in recent years has his name come up in connection to these jobs, and how many times has he been bought that every time? No, nobody's given him that opportunity just yet. And so I don't know what it's going to take for him to get one of these head coaching jobs, but all we can judge them by is their actions. And so far, they haven't hired him. And again, I think they should have, but they haven't. So as long as they haven't, then I think he has to leave all of his options open, including taking a head coaching job in college, if that's what it takes.
Yeah, and then that may be what he needs to – you know, just expand his resume. Or what about going someplace else? You know, I know it's not going to happen in season, but, you know, I've talked about how, you know, when the Bengals coach, Marvin Lewis, you know, was given a ton of credit, and rightfully so, for the Ravens' great defense. He actually, people forget, went to Washington and had 1 year as a coordinator there before he got the Bengals job, because he seemingly needed to, you know, finish off the resume or show that he could do it someplace else. And he was successful in Washington, and that's what ultimately then springboarded him to getting the job in Cincinnati. Eric Bieniemy, you know, I know the Seattle folks were kind of interested, at least from a media standpoint. They thought, hey, how about Eric Bieniemy when their offensive coordinator job was open? Is that something that he may need to do to, if it is, to, you know, his goal to get an NFL job?
Well, I don't know that he's looking to leave one job for a lateral move, the one offensive coordinator's job for another. There aren't too many places that are better training grounds than under Andy Reid. So, like, if you're going to go leave Kansas City as the OC to become a what's the game there? Unless you want to do that with your family, or you want to leave Kansas City and go on and live in Seattle or whatever city it is. I haven't heard that, but I think he's looking for a head coaching job, and it's disappointing that one hasn't come his way so far.
Well, I think what would be to gain is to actually call the plays, and I think, listen, it wasn't a problem for Matt Nagy, and it wasn't a problem for Doug Peterson, but, you know, if he's not in other areas as strong a candidate, one of the knocks on both those guys, I remember when Doug Peterson got to Philadelphia, people were saying, well, he didn't really call his plays. You know, that was Andy Reid. So that would be the thinking, that you go somewhere else and it's all your offense. You know, it's, you know, there's kind of a big shadow of Andy Reid, you know, looming over everything he does.
Yeah, well, I understand that. That's fair. I still think it's a great training ground and a place you'd want to be, but we'll see how that works out going forward.
Yeah, no doubt. Lamar Jackson gets a giant win against the Kansas City Chiefs. He was 0-3. He was barreling towards being 0-4, the guy who can't beat Patrick Mahomes. What did that win do for him, and what does it do for his contract future?
Well, I don't think it changes his contract future at all. I mean, that's still out there, and he's going to make great money when he and the Ravens can get together. But just from a confidence standpoint, you can see the picture, the video of him and Sammy Watkins tugging after the game. You know how much of one like that probably meant to Sammy Watkins, and certainly it meant even more to Lamar, who had not been able to beat the Chiefs at all. And so I just think it's a jolt of confidence for a team that was a little bit on the ropes, that lost so many players this season due to injury, has been through so much adversity through the early part of the season. Went to the game yesterday with 14 players in injury reserve. The league average is like 4 to 5. So they're triple what the league average was with injured players. And I just think that was the one that just calmed things down for a little bit in Baltimore for the time being.
Yeah, it was, you know, he did everything they asked of him. The Chiefs, you know, Chiefs fans will tell you, well, the Chiefs helped him along the way, but that's football, right? And when he needed to go get a score, he got a score and went up and down the field. And, yes, he ran for 100 yards, but 230 yards passing. He did throw the picks, but he overcame that. To me, that's almost a better statement, that it certainly wasn't looking like his day early on, yet the kid kept fighting and ultimately got the win. I mean, that's got to say a lot, I would think, certainly to a Baltimore fan base as well. It's got to earn him a lot of credit there. In the AFC, there's only two undefeated teams, and, of course, we all knew that those undefeated teams would be the Broncos and the Raiders, right? How surprised should we be that those are the last two undefeated teams in the AFC?
I would not have guessed them. I would not have had them in the office pool. That would not have been my – those are – and that's – so – you know, that's interesting. So, to me, both teams have played very well, strong defenses. And, so good for them that they played as well as they have early on. And the Raiders, real, just to watch them, I was there last Monday night. I mean, very impressive, very impressive. So, again, I just view Mahomes and Herbert being on top of this division for the next decade plus. So the fact that Denver and Vegas are on top right now, they should enjoy it because there may not be many times they get to enjoy something like that with quarterbacks as good as Mahomes and Herbert.
Is Derek Carr going to muscle his way back into conversations? You know, he hit the ground running when he was young. He's had two big performances, 400-plus in the first one, 382, yesterday with two touchdowns. Is Derek Carr earning himself a contract extension?
Well, you know, listen, you play like this, you're going to have some options for you. So whether, you know, the Raiders want to extend him or not, we'll see. But, look, all you can do is play like that. You play great, Stern, and we'll see where it goes from there, Stern.
Denver invested heavily on the defensive side of the ball. They've given up 13 points in each of the first two games. However, the New York Giants, which have got a lot of offensive firepower, you'd think should be better than they've been so far. Certainly were better against Washington, which has another team that's invested heavily in defense, but they put up more points on Thursday night against Washington than they did the Broncos. The Jaguars are a young team. The Jets are next before the Ravens come about, Steelers, then finally the Raiders, a team that you would say is, you know, maybe hitting on all cylinders or has the kind of modern offense. But the Broncos, are we prepared to say that this is going to be one of the best defenses in the NFL and that they are a legitimate threat as opposed to just getting maybe a scheduling smile to start things off?
Well, you know, here's the thing. You know what the difference is that the offense is not putting the defense in bad positions. Teddy Bridgewater's not turning over the football through two games. And I know they've only beaten the Giants and Jaguars so far. But the fact of the matter is, again, the offense has been smart. They made good decisions, haven't turned it over, haven't put the defense in bad spots. And so you know, as long as they do that, the defense can just go out and play. And the defense is good enough with Vic Fangio as a defensive minded head coach to play solid football. Because that's what they're doing, and that's what they you continue to do with Teddy playing smart football.
Tonight's Monday Night Football, which, of course, you'll see on ESPN. Also see the Manning broadcast on ESPN2, I think it is. And, of course, we'll have it right here on Sports Radio 810 WHP. How much is at stake here for the Packers? I mean, the Bears are 1-1, so even if they were to lose, they would only be one game out. I know Aaron Rodgers has, you know, his famous "everybody relax" or "calm down" or whatever it was he said a few years ago when they got off to a slow start, and I assume he'd have a similar reaction. I look back 2 years ago when he didn't play in the preseason, but everybody else did. Last year, nobody played, right? And he got off to a very good start. But 2 years ago, it kind of took three games for him to knock the rust off. The Lions are a team that put up some points, kind of, oh, by the way, points in their opener, not really when the game was being contested. What's at stake here for Rodgers and the Packers in this game?
Well, I think it's going to be a good gauge as to whether they look so bad in week one that it's hard to imagine they could play like that. If they were not to play strong football tonight, I'd say, well, maybe it's going to be one of these tough, challenging years for Green Bay. I expect them to come out and play a really strong, sound game to bounce back the way that good teams do. And if they don't, then that tells you something's not right. But to me, they're just too good, too talented, at home, home opener. I'm looking for a strong Packers performance tonight.
All right, we're talking to Adam Schefter here in the program. Time for our Final Four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, University of Kansas Health System has extended weekday hours and a Saturday morning walk-in clinic. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. Adam, I will start you with this. Does Aaron Rodgers ever wear another NFL uniform?
Let's see how this season goes. I think the feeling around the league is they think there's a real chance he'll be playing. He'll finish that elsewhere. We'll see.
Okay. Okay. How about Ben Roethlisberger? Does he ever wear another uniform? It looks like this is his final year in Pittsburgh.
I would say that'll be the last place he plays.
Okay. Okay. So no on Ben Roethlisberger. Who's the funnier, Manning, Peyton, or Eli?
Well, Eli's quietly an underrated funny, but Peyton's very funny. So, I mean, you have to go with him.
Yeah. I think Peyton. All right, and then finally, when it's all said and done, how many touchdowns does Tom Brady finish his career with, as he just seems to be this ageless wonder that can go on and on and on? How many touchdowns does he finish his career with?
Well, what does he have right now, Sarin?
590, which is 19 more than Drew Brees. Drew Brees at 571, Peyton Manning 539, Brett Favre 508. He's at 590 and counting.
I would say infinity, probably, but more accurate. Infinity is probably a better answer, but somewhere, I don't know, he's probably going to throw another length of 50. So I don't know, maybe he throws for, man, who knows how many more.
Yeah, right? I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a tough call. I'll put down infinity just because I like writing the infinity symbol. Adam, great stuff. We appreciate it, buddy. We'll be watching tonight on Monday Night Football. We'll talk to you next week.
Sure, and have a great week. Enjoy the game tonight. Thanks for having me. We'll talk next Monday from Dallas.
The Program with Soren Petro.
Y'all ought to be ashamed of yourself. You deserve the booze they give you.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, wrapping up hour number one, we're going to talk to Byron Pringle. He's scheduled to join us to talk about a new relationship he's got with a snack company. I wonder which one. What would be fitting for Byron Pringle?
Doritos?
No.
Funyuns?
Shut your mouth. Think about it. Unreal. Unreal.
Unreal.
There's no help whatsoever.
Never heard of that brand.
I'm a man on an island here. A man on an island. I will talk to Byron Pringle about his new snack endeavor, as well as get his thoughts on the performance of the wide receiving core against the Baltimore Ravens, playing with Patrick Mahomes. A few questions I've got. He's scheduled to join us to start things off. Then we'll open up the phone lines after Byron Pringle, and we'll talk about the Chiefs. Loss to the Ravens. Very frustrating for the defense, no doubt. But think about it. At least you're not watching Zach Wilson throw four picks when he's supposed to be the savior of your franchise, like the New York Jets were. Tua Tagovailoa going down and getting blown up 35-0 like the Dolphins
time
did.
For our Deli Fresh end of the hour question, sponsored by Good Sense, chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, who was the last Chief before Tyrann Mathieu to get a pick six on the game's first possession? Brought to you by Good Sense.